How you doing there? Welcome back to Babylon Talmud. Today we're studying Daf Lamed Hey, Daf 35, Masechta Bava Metzia, friends, your friends. Let me tell you something about this Daf. This is my second time recording it, friends. The first time I recorded it, the audio was terrible. I'm re-recording it. I don't like to re-record Dafs. I was on a groove with somebody the other day. I think you're going to hear this again from me in tomorrow's daf, because I already recorded tomorrow's daf. I'm going back now like 2 days later and recording today's daf. He suggested that I should have two recordings of every daf. I think it's a good idea. That like the regular recording that I have, like with the microphone, and just in case the microphone gets all messed up, as it does every so often, I'll have another version of it just recorded on my phone. Won't be a good version or anything like that, but at least it'll be something. It'll be audible, so that just in case it gets all messed up, we at least have a backup. I think it's a good idea. So I think start doing that every day, just recording it in two places, just in case the mic is messed up. So anyways, here we are recording Daf Lamed Hey for the second time, and. All right, hopefully the second time will be as good as the first time. And right, here we go. So the thing is, I have to talk and remember it because, I mean, remember, it's Friday right now. I recorded this on Wednesday. When did I review it? I can't remember. Probably on Wednesday, too. I don't know. I can't. So, but all right, shouldn't be too hard. Oh, this is Gevaldige stuff. All right, it's Gevaldige stuff. I just have to get past the fact that I'm, like, not excited to re-record. But, all right, this is where we are. And gotta get excited. So we are discussing the opinion of Rav Huna. Ho-ho. That Rav Huna had said, what did Rav Huna say? Ah, so Rav Huna had said that, okay, so we had said in our Mishneh that Shimon deposits an animal by Reuven, the animal gets stolen. Reuven says, hey, Shimon, you know, I'm just gonna pay you. I'm just gonna pay you for it. I know it was stolen. I know technically I'm potter for Gneva Vaveda. Instead of swearing that it got stolen, I am going to just pay you for it. Says Rav Huna that Reuven still needs to swear that he does not in fact have it. It's not enough just to pay. He has to swear that he doesn't have it because we're concerned that maybe he liked the cow. Maybe they got along well. And he wanted to keep the cow. And maybe he figured he'll just pay off Shimon and keep it for himself. So he has to swear that he doesn't have it. So says the Gemara about 15 lines into the page. Rav Huna bar Tachlifa, Mishmei de Ravi Omar, says Rav Huna bar Tachlifa in the name of Ravi. I hope this is what we were starting. I hope this is the correct place to start. I think it is. Omar Reisha, wait, where am I? Rav Huna bar Tachlifa, Mishmei de Ravi Omar. Reisha de Seifa, Tiyuvta l'Rav Huna. Do 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 do. Ba 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 da ba da ba da ba da ba da da. Chaver, what's the ratio? What's the sefer? What's the ratio of the sefer? What's the sefer of the ratio? What are we talking about? We're talking about at the end of the daf yesterday. We had all these scenarios where Shimon lent Reuven a cella, and Reuven gave Shimon a collateral, and they're making all sorts of claim, and Shimon loses the collateral, and they're trying to figure out how much was the collateral worth and who owes who what. So the seifa was where Reuven goes on the offensive. The borrower goes on the offensive, right? Shimon lent Reuven a cella, okay? Reuven gave Shimon a collateral. Shimon lost the collateral. Reuven saying, hey, Shimon, the collateral that I gave you was worth two cellas. You owe me a cella. You owe me now a cella. Shimon says, what are you talking about? I lent you a cella, you gave me collateral, that collateral was worth a cella. We're even now. So we said that Shimon is potter. Shimon is potter, he doesn't need to swear because he's kofer hakol, right? Reuven is claiming that Shimon owes him a cella. Shimon is saying, I owe you nothing. So they're even. He's kofer, he's claiming that they're even, he's claiming that he doesn't owe Reuven anything. Kofer hakol, he's denying the full cella. So we say that Shimon is potter. Now here's the thing. Oh, Chaver, I think that, one second. Yeah, Big time. They're power washing outside. Big time they're power washing. Yep. They power wash every day. So it's a good time to record Babylon Talmud. Just put on my noise canceling headphones and block it out. It's so noisy around here that I have to live in my own house with noise canceling headphones. Noise canceling headphones changed my life. When I woke up today, there were people outside in the park making noise. I woke up today very early. I woke up at 1 a.m. and there were people outside, probably drunk, screaming and yelling. And I was trying to learn, so I put on the noise canceling headphones. Changed my life. Shtickle b'di'evit, but I'm happy that I have them. Okay, back to Babylon Talmud. So Shimon is kofar. Here's the thing, friends. If Rav Huna is right. Oh, right. This is the kasha. Chevre, it's a very elegant kasha. You ready for that very elegant kasha? The very elegant kasha is that we're saying that Rav Huna, right, that Shimon is potter. Shimon does not need to swear. Wow. Do you hear the power washing? I hear it through my noise canceling headphones. If Shimon is, here's the thing. We said that, so Reuven says that the mashkin was, Reuven says, look, Shimon, you lent me a sela. I gave you a mashkin worth 2 selas. So therefore you owe me a sela. Shimon says, no, I lent you a sela. The mashkin was worth a sela. I owe you nothing. We say that Shimon is potter because he's kofar akol. Chevre, listen to this beautiful kasha. The beautiful kasha is that if Rav Huna is right, then that would mean that Shimon, who allegedly lost, who's claiming that he lost the collateral, well, according to Rav Huna, Shimon should have to swear that he doesn't have it. Okay. Once then Shimon is swearing that he doesn't have it, well, then let's make a Gilgul Shvuah, ha ha. Once already he's swearing that he doesn't have the collateral, well, then let's have him also swear that the collateral was in fact worth a sela, like he, Shimon, claims. So meaning, sure, milchatchila we wouldn't have Shimon swear because he's kofar akol. Reuven saying you owe me a sela, Shimon saying I don't owe you anything. So meikar adin, Shimon wouldn't swear. But according to Rav Huna, he has to swear anyways that he doesn't have the mashkin. So once already he's swearing he doesn't have the mashkin, so then let him eichet swear that that it's in fact worth a sela like he, Shimon, claims. Ho ho. Ha ha. Now that's a kasha. Ho ho. That's a kasha. Ho ho. Rav Huna bar Tachlifa mishmed Rav Omer. Let's read that again. So Rav Huna bar Tachlifa says name of Rav. Reisha the Seifa. Do you have to learn Rav Huna? Ho ho. That the first part of the Seifa, i.e., when Reuven claims the collateral was worth 2 selas and Shimon claims it's worth 1 sela, is a kasha and Rav Huna, because it says sela ilvisoni olav, that Reuven says to Shimon, you lent me a sela and I gave you a collateral. Shtai mayashavin, the collateral that I gave you was worth 2 selas. You gave me 1 sela, I gave you 2 selas. And you lost my collateral, so you owe me a sela, says Reuven. V'hala oimer, and Shimon says, Loki, nisht. El sela visicha, yeah, I lent you a sela, olav, on that collateral. Sela oyoshove. And the collateral that you gave me was punked. The same price was oichet a sela. I don't owe you anything. Potter, we say that Shimon doesn't need to swear that the collateral was in fact worth a sela. The imis al Rav Huna, but if Rav Huna is right, that Shimon should have to swear that he doesn't have the collateral, well then, migoy de mishtaba malve she'ena b'reshuso. So once Shimon already has to swear that he doesn't have the collateral, lishtabanamia gilgul shvue kamoyo shove. So once already he's swearing that he doesn't have it, let him oichit swear a gilgul shvue, that like a secondary shvue, that that the collateral is in fact worth a sela, like he Shimon claims. Ho ho. What do you think about that kasha? It gets you all excited, right? Amar Rav Ashi, says Rav Ashi. Amishadashmaite kamidur of Ka'ano, ho ho. So says Rav Ashi that he was saying over the sugyo by Rav Kahane v'omerlin. Rav Kahane answered this kasha by saying, Tehei b'may minoy, ho ho. Well, it's talking about, so the reason why, it's a very good kasha, it's a very good kasha, but the reason why in this case Shimon is not swearing that he's telling the truth and that he in fact does not have the mashkin, the reason is because Reuven believes him. In this case we're talking about where Reuven believes Shimon, says, look, Reuven, I lent you a sela, you gave me a collateral, I lost the collateral. Reuven believes him that he lost the collateral, so that's why he doesn't have to swear that he in fact doesn't have it. Reuven believes him. V'nehemne love l'malve, nami beho, kama yoshove. But if that's the case, so again, I'm going to read that again. Tevaminu, v'nehemne love l'malve, nami beho. But if we're saying that that Reuven trusts Shimon so much, that when Shimon says that it's lost, Reuven believes that it's lost, and Shimon therefore doesn't have to swear that it's in fact lost. So then why doesn't Reuven also believe Shimon that the collateral was in fact worth a sela? And why is Reuven making the claim that it's two selas? After all, Shimon says it's a sela. If Reuven believes Shimon so much, let him believe him about that as well. Kama avashava, how much the collateral was worth? Lo kim le begave. Yeah, but the thing is, Shimon doesn't really know. Meaning, Reuven saying, look, when it comes to the value of this collateral that belongs to me, that I gave him, Shimon's out of his league. This is my object. I know what my things cost. Shimon doesn't care about it as much as I do. I'm the owner. As far as Shimon's concerned, look, it's just a security. That's it. Shimon lent me a sela. He wants to have some kind of security. I gave him a mashkin. As far as he's concerned, he takes it, he puts it somewhere, keeps it, and then when I pay him back, he'll give it back to me. But, you know, he's not... You know, he's not, he doesn't have the same relationship with it as I do. I know the value of it more than he does. I'm telling you it was worth two selas. Therefore, when it comes to the value of the mashkin, Reuven does not trust Shimon in the same way, but he does trust Shimon to say that it's lost. V'nehemne malve l'love, dikim le begave. Well, if that's the case, then why don't we flip it around and say, well, if Reuven is so familiar with his own object, well then, why doesn't Shimon trust Reuven? And if Reuven's saying it was worth two selas, then Shimon should believe him. After all, Reuven knows better than Shimon does. Lo mehemenle, well, Shimon doesn't believe Reuven. Ho ho, umayshna love de mehemenle le malve, umayshna malve de lo mehemenle le love. So why the unequal treatment? How come Reuven believes Shimon, but Shimon doesn't believe Reuven? That Shimon can say that the object got lost, and Reuven's like, oh, okay, fine, I believe you. And with regard to Reuven's own object, Shimon is unwilling to believe Reuven about it to discuss its value. So, anfit the Gemara, love mekayim be b'malve tumas yishoim tanchem, malve mekayim be b'love v'selef bogdim yishadeim. Ho-ho. Have you ever heard of the movie Fiddler on the Roof? So in that movie, there's a niggin. That niggin maybe is called, if I were a rich man, maybe that's the name of the niggin. That's definitely some of the words. And in there, he talks about if you were a wealthy man, so everybody would come to him for advice, like Solomon the Wise, and You know, if only you were a wealthy man, then people would believe him, people would trust him, people would look up to him, ask for advice. So the same thing over here, right? Shimon is the lender. Shimon has his ducks in a row. Reuven, on the other hand, he's a borrower. He doesn't have his ducks in a row. He's in a position where he needs money from Shimon. Shimon seems to have everything figured out. So therefore, you know, a person looks up to, right, it says, we say in the Pasuk, right, V'sicha goyim rabim v'atalo silve. I think so, right? It says, is that what it goes? You know, in the blessings that the Eibishter gives to the Yidden is that they should be the lenders, not the borrowers. So therefore, you know, Reuven, in a sense, kind of, in sort of the power dynamic, so to speak, Reuven looks up to Shimon and trusts Shimon and says, okay, well, if Shimon says it's lost, I trust him that it's lost. On the other hand, the opposite is also true. Shimon looks at Reuven and is like, look, I mean, Reuven clearly is not as on top of things, and therefore, I mean, I know he says it's worth 2 sellas. I don't know. I think it's worth 1 sell. So it says, Lovim Mekayim Be Malve. So in terms of the Love, his view towards the Malve, Tumas Yisharim Tanchem, that the completeness of the straight ones escort, you know, guides them. That, okay, he has his ducks in a row. Malve Mekayim Be Belove, but the Malve looks towards the Love, Veselev Bogdim Yeshadim, that the messed upness of the messed uppers messes them up. That, I don't know. It's, Shimon looks at Reuven, he says he needs to get his ducks in a row. Alright. How gave the afkid kife gabe chavre. Alright, so Shimon deposited some earrings with Reuven. Omar le. And then Shimon says to Reuven, okay, Reuven, havli kefoy, give me back my earrings. You know what Reuven says to Shimon? Dag nabbit. Dag nabbit. Dag nabbit. I don't know what I did with them. I don't know where they are. I don't know where your earrings are. So the case came before Rav Nachman, or I guess Reuven came before Rav Nachman. Probably with Shimon. Omele, and Rav Nachman says to Reuven, Kolo yadaino pshiusahi zil shlim. I don't know. Sounds like poshea to me. Is pshia. You must pay Shimon for the earrings. Lo shile. Reuven didn't do it. He didn't pay Shimon. Also Rav Nachman, agbe la padne mine. So Rav Nachman took away Reuven's mansion and gave it to Shimon. It's, right, it's like on Purim, right? Right? What does it say? Right? That he put Mordechai al beis hamon. Right? I think. Right, does it say that? Right? That he gave maybe Haman's ring to from Motre and also maybe he gave him as Beis Haman to Ayudim. Did that happen? That Achashverosh gave Mordechai Haman's mansion? Hakoponim. Okay, so Reuven didn't pay. So Rav Nachman took Reuven's mansion and gave it to Shimon. L'sof ishtikach kifei. One day, Reuven is doing his thing, and he says, holy mackerel, the earrings. These are Shimon's earrings. V'ikur. Now the thing is, these earrings had shot up in value. Shot up in value. They are now very, very expensive. They are worth a lot of money now. Amar Rav Nachman, Hadre Kife Limarayu, Vehadre Apadna Limara. Says Rav Nachman, okay, Reuven needs to give the earrings back to Shimon, and Shimon gives back the mansion to Reuven. Omar Rove, Rove says to Rav Nachman, Rav Yosef Nakami to Rav Nachman, I was sitting before Rav Nachman, Ufirkin Amafkid Avaho, and we were learning Perek Amafkid, just like we're learning Perek Amafkid. Rove, 1500 years ago, or more, was learning Perek Amafkid, and the Yidden now, 1500 years plus later, are still learning the Perek Amafkid, and we'll still be learning Perek Amafkid in another 1500 years. Probably not with me, but some other guy. I wonder if 1500 years from now, somebody else will come up with the name Babylon Talmud, and they'll think it's so original. Maybe I'm not the first Babylon Talmud. If you know of another Babylon Talmud, please don't tell me. All right, I'll kuponim. So Amar Rav Abba Yosef Nakami Rav Nachman Firkin Amafkin. We were learning Perek Amafkin. Ve'amilei, and I said to Rav Nachman, I said, wait, but what about our Mishnah? What about our Mishnah? Shilem v'lo rotzu lishova. What about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says that if Shimon deposits an animal with Reuven and it gets stolen and Reuven pays Shimon, well then if they find the thief, Reuven gets the added benefits, gets the kefil, gets the dalad vehei. So shouldn't we say the same thing over here? Reuven paid Shimon with his mansion. When Reuven finds these earrings that are now very, very expensive, can't Reuven keep those earrings? V'lo ahadar li, and Rav Nachman did not answer me. Shaper Ovad to lo ahadar li. And you know what, says Rava? Rav Nachman was correct not to answer me. My timer. How come? Well, because hosom lo atrichei levedino. Ocha atrichei levedino. Well, there's a big difference. In this case, with the mansion and the earrings, Reuven is a big shmendrik. Reuven is acting like a big shmendrik. Reuven is acting like a big shmendrik. He loses the earrings. He goes to court. Rav Nachman says, you have to pay. He doesn't pay. They're forced to take away his mansion. Now he finds the earrings and they're super expensive. What, we're supposed to, reward him with them? No way, no how. But in our Mishnah, where Reuven is kind of being very easy, he's saying to Shimon, look, I'll just pay you now. So in that case, yeah, if the ganef is found, so then Reuven can keep the kefil and dalvei. Sover Rav Nachman, right? He didn't force him to go to Bezna, whatever. You know, he's just super easy, so we give him dalvei and kefil. So the name of the sover of Nachman is that said that Rav Nachman holds the shuma hotter. Is it possible? Does this mean that Rav Nachman holds that shuma hotter? What does shuma hotter mean? We had learned about this in the past, that Shimon lends Reuven $1,000, Reuven defaults. So Shimon takes Reuven's property. So we said that if Reuven comes up with the money and pays back Shimon, he can get his property back. So it sounds like something similar happened. Reuven gave his property to his mansion to Shimon. Reuven found the earrings, he gave them back to Shimon, he got his mansion back. So does that imply that Rav Nachman is necessarily on board with Shuma Hadar? Not necessarily. Shiny Ahasam de Shuma Bitaus Hava Dukava Kife Meikar. Not necessarily. This is a different case when it comes to the earrings because they mistakenly gave the mansion to Shimon because in fact the Reuven actually had the earrings the whole time, right? Meaning, when Shimon lends $1,000 to Reuven, Reuven Pashat defaults. He doesn't have the money. So then Shimon takes the property. And then when Shimon comes up with the money, he can give it, you know, give it the property and get it back. But, and that's kind of Shuma Hadar, that he comes up with the money, gives it to Shimon, he gets his property back. In this case, though, it was partially a mistake, right? Meaning Reuven says, I don't know what happened to the earrings. He had them the whole time. He didn't realize. They ended up taking his mansion and giving it to Shimon. But the truth is, Reuven had it the whole time, so it was considered a mistake, and that's why it goes back. You can argue, though, that Rav Nachman would say that in the case of where Reuven defaulted, and therefore they gave his property to Shimon, you could argue that Rav Nachman would say that it would not go back to Reuven in that case. Okay. Amri Nardoi, the Nardains say, Shuma Hodr Atreser Yarcheshato. They say, the Nardain say that a property can go, an evaluated property can go back to its original owner for up to a year, right? So if Shimon lent Reuven $1,000, Reuven defaults, he has up to a year to return the money to Shimon and be able to get his property back. For Amr Amemer, it says Amemer, Ono min Adaria, Ono, I'm from Nardaria, Visvirli, and I hold Shuma Hadar Le'olam, that actually the property can always go back. Whenever Reuven comes up with this money, he can give it to Shimon and get his property back. Vilchasa Shuma Hadul Olam, the halacha is that an evaluated property does in fact, this property can go back whenever Reuven comes up with the money. Mishum, Shnema Basisa Yashur Ve'atov, because the Pasuk says you should do that which is straight and good in the eyes of God, and therefore it is straight and good for Shimon to return the property to Reuven when he manages to come up with the money. Now says the Gemara, Pshita Shabule Levalchov Ozol Iu Vishama Levalchov Dide Aminan Lei Loi Odiv At Migavra de Osis Mine Zabno Orto Viyaiva Bimatona Vade Hani Meikor Adaita de Ara Nochus Vilav Adaita de Zuze Nochus. Pam pam. Do do do. Okay, so Shimon lends $1,000 to Reuven. Reuven defaults. So Shimon takes property from Reuven. Here's the thing. Levi had lent $1,000 to Shimon. Shimon defaulted. So the property that Shimon collected from Reuven now ends up going to Levi. If Reuven now comes up with the money, he can go to Levi and say, hey, Levi, that's my property. I came up with the money. I believe he would just give the money to Levi and then get his property back. And the reason why that is because ultimately, you know, Shimon lent Reuven money. He expected to get paid back with money. I mean, this wasn't a real estate transaction, this was a loan, right? He wasn't looking to buy Reuven's field, he was looking to lend Reuven $1,000. You know, b'di'evit, if Reuven would default on the money, so he would collect the field, and that's what happened. But, you know, Shimon v'lechatchila was expecting to be returned money. Same thing with Levi. Levi lent Shimon money, he was expecting to get paid back with money. He wasn't expecting v'lechatchila to get property. So therefore, when Reuven comes to Levi and presents him with money, ultimately, that's what Levi was expecting milichatchila, and therefore, when Reuven presents Levi with the money, he says, here's the money you were expecting milichatchila, take it and give me back my property. However, if what happened was that Reuven defaulted on the loan, so Shimon took Reuven's property, and then Shimon sold it to Levi, or he gifted it to Levi, or he bequeathed it to Levi, well, in that case, Reuven cannot go to Levi and say, Levi, here's money, give me back my property. Levi says, what do you mean? I don't want your money. I bought this property. I bought it because I wanted it. I want this property. I don't want your money. I bought it from Shimon. I have nothing to do with this loan. I bought a piece of property from a seller. I'm not taking your money and giving it back to you. I don't need to. I didn't get involved in that. Okay. So let's read that inside. So Pshita, it's certainly Shamu Le Lebal Chov. If they evaluated Reuven's property and gave it to Shimon, V'ozel Iu V'Shamu Lebal Chov Didei, and then they ended up evaluating the property so that it could be given to Levi, who lent Shimon money, Amrinan Lei, so we say to Levi, Lo Adif At Migavida Osis, meaning you're no different than Shimon. And just like Reuven can give Shimon money and get back his property, Reuven can give you money and get back his property, because ultimately, you know, money is what you were expecting milichatchila. However, Zabna, if Shimon had sold it to Levi, orta, or bequeathed it to Levi, v'yayva b'matono, or gave it to Levi as a gift, well, in that case, v'adei hane me'ikara adaita de'aron achus, well, certainly then, in that case, Levi milichatchila wanted the property, was expecting the property, v'lav adaita de'zuzei achus, and he was not expecting milichatchila to receive money, and therefore, Levi does not need in that case to give the property back to Reuven in exchange for money. Shamu la le isha ve'insiva o shamu mina de isha ve'insiva v'meisa bal b'nichse ishto lo ke'achave lo mihader ve'lo me'adrinon le. Okay, so let us keep our regular names, Reuven being the borrower, Shimon being the lender. But in this case, there is another variable, which is Sarah. In one scenario, Sarah is the lender. In the other scenario, Sarah is the borrower. In the first case, Sarah as the lender. Sarah lends money to Reuven, the borrower. Okay? Reuven defaults on the loan. Sarah steps in and takes Reuven's property. Okay. Sarah gets married. All right. The property remains hers. It's Nichse Malug. It remains hers. Now, a husband, so even though the property remains hers, the husband has the rights to the fruits. And he's considered like a lokeach, he's considered like a purchaser. Now, if she dies, so the husband is considered like a purchaser with regard to this property, not like an inheritor. And the difference is that this is now similar to a case of where Reuven defaulted on the loan. Sarah took the property from Reuven and then sold it to her husband, right? Because he's a lokeach, he's not an inheritor. And we just said that if Reuven defaults on the loan and Shimon gets the property, who then sells it to Levi, so Levi does not need to give back the property to Reuven because Levi bought it. So here also, the husband does not need to give back the property to Reuven because he's considered like a buyer, as opposed to if he were to have inherited his wife, well then just like she should give it back to Reuven if Reuven gives her the money, so then so should the husband. But he's not an inheritor, he's a buyer. And therefore he doesn't need to give it back to Reuven if Reuven wants to give the money in exchange for the property. And now the scenario where Sarah had borrowed money from Shimon, so Shimon had lent Sarah money. Sarah had defaulted on the loan. Her property went to Shimon. She dies, and now her husband wants to get the property back from Shimon. Now, if Sarah would have presented Shimon with the money, so then she would get her property back. The thing is that the husband does not inherit Sarah. He's like a lokeach, and therefore, you know, he doesn't have that same right to get the property back from Shimon. Sarah did, and if he were to inherit her, so then he would. But he's like a purchaser, and Shimon had the property first, so Reuven can't force Shimon to give it back. So the husband cannot force Shimon to give it back. So now, let's read it inside. Shamu l'al isha. So if Sara is the lender and she lent money to Reuven and Reuven defaulted on the loan, so Shamula Leisha, so they evaluated property and gave it to her. Then Sivan, she got married and they are now Nichse Malug, and then ultimately she dies and her husband is considered like to have, like a purchaser who had purchased it from her. Oh, alternatively, Shamu Mina de Isha. Alternatively, Shimon had lent money to Sara, and then they had evaluated a property and given property to Reuven. And then Sara gets married, Vin Sivan, she gets married, Vamesa, but then she dies. And her husband is considered like a purchaser of her property, not an inheritor of her property. So Baal Benichsa Ishta Lokeachave. So the husband is considered like a purchaser, Lo Mihader, and therefore, in the event where Sara lent money to Reuven, Reuven cannot say, hey, I want to get my property back, because the husband says, look, Be'etzem, Sara sold me the property. I don't need to give it to you. Vlo Majina Le. And similarly, if the husband wants to return the money to Shimon and get the field back when Sara had defaulted on the loan, so again, we say to him, look, you're just a purchaser. And Shimon says, look, I don't need to give it back to you. Damar Reb Yosi, Reb Chanina, Be'usha Eskinu, that they established in Usha, Isha Shemachur B'Nichsei Malug B'Chai Baila, that a woman who sells her Nichsei Malug while her husband, right, when during the lifetime of her husband, Vamesa, and then she dies, Haba Motzi Miyara Lekuches, the husband can retrieve that property from the purchasers, because he says, look, I was married to her, I was a purchaser first, you got to give it back to me. Now, Agbe Iu Bechovo. So now, okay, back to the scenario where Shimon lent Reuven $1,000 and Reuven defaulted on the loan. So Reuven defaults on the loan. Okay, so if they go to Bezdin and Bezdin evaluates Reuven's property and they give it to Shimon, so then we said that when Reuven comes up with the money, he can give it to Shimon and get back his property. But what if Reuven avoided going to Bezdin and he says, look, Shimon, I don't have the $1,000 here, just take my property. In that case, when Reuven comes up with the $1,000, would he still be able to go to Shimon and say, I want my property back? Or does that only work when they go through Bezdin, through the official channels? So Agbe'iu Bechovo, if Reuven gave of his own, what's the word I'm thinking of? I was thinking of one word, but that wasn't the right word. Now I can't think of any words. Of his own initiative. If Reuven went of his own initiative and gave his property to Shimon because he defaulted on the loan, so pligi ba revachav ravina machloikes revachin ravina chadomer hadra v'chadomer lo hadra, a nice clean machlokes. One says that Reuven can get it back, the other one says that Reuven cannot get it back. Of course, it reminds me of the bechina that I had with my friends Josh Weinberg and Yoni Waxpress. With Rabbi Simon. Rabbi Simon asked a question about Hilchos Shabbos or something. I think one of them said it was a machlokas and didn't really elaborate. And then Rabbi Simon looked at the other one to elaborate and he said, one says it's mutter, one says it's usser. Okay. So, anyways. Pligibar of Acha Viravino, Chadomar Hadra Vchadomar Lo Hadra. What were we talking about? So one opinion is that the property would go back to Reuven. The other opinion is that the property would not go back to Reuven. Mandomar Lo, okay, but here's the elaboration. That's the difference. Mandomar Lo Hadra, the reason why the opinion says it does not go back to Reuven is because Savari holds Haizabine Ma'al Yohi Tomi Daita Denavshe Agbe. This is a proper sale. Reuven went of his own initiative and offered the property to Shimon. That's permanent stuff. It can't go back. Mandomar Hadra, according to the opinion, says that it does go back. Savar Lozabine Ma'al Yohu. This is not an official, irreversible, irretractable sale. By the Agbe, Midaite, v'lo osu ledina, and the reason why Reuven offered his field to Shimon of his own initiative and did not go through the official channels through Beis Din, his machmas kisufa hu de'agbe. It's because Reuven was embarrassed. You know, he didn't want to, you know, you go to court, it becomes a whole public thing. People find out about it. You know who finds out about it, of course. The Yentis Intelligence Services. And then at their weekly meeting in the bungalow colony on Shabbos afternoon, and they sit around there on the lawn in their chairs, and they open up a table and a tablecloth. No, that's not true. There's no table and tablecloth. Lawn chair on the chairs, and everybody has their own Diet Coke and low-fat mandel bread. And they discuss who was in court. So, anyways, you know, his daughter needs to get a shidduch. He can't afford, you know, the Yentis Intelligence Services. He wants to keep them out of it. So therefore, he just wants to kind of hush-hush, say, look, Shimon, take my field. But he would like to get it back when it comes up with the money. Okay. So if Shimon takes Reuven's property because Reuven defaulted on the loan, at what point can Shimon eat the enjoy? Right? Does he have the rights to the fruits of Reuven's field? Rabbi says it's from the time that the document that says that he can find and seize Reuven's fields. Once Shimon receives that document, Abaye Amar Eidah Bachasum of Zochen Lo, or as we've seen, Abaye says that once the Eidim have signed the document, from that point already, Shimon would be able to have the rights to the fruits. Rav Amar Michi Shlimu Yemei Achrazta, that only once they have identified a field and announced that they've identified a field and put the field up for auction, and in the event that Shimon wins that auction and now he gets the field, only at that point would he be able to have the rights to the fruits. And I reckon if somebody else wins the auction, then they would probably just give the money to Shimon. I hope I didn't say Reuven, but Shimon is the person who's getting the field and potentially the fruits. Well, and then the fruits. Says the Mishnah, Asoicher pari mechaveru. Givaldix. Now this is going to be a whole thing, huh? This is going to be a whole thing. What's the daf that I'm recording today? I got to record two dafs today. I got to record two dafs today. It's Friday, and this is my first daf, so I guess three. I feel like, wow, this is a third. 2 weeks ago, I recorded four daf on Friday. Last week, I recorded three daf, and this week, again, I'm recording three daf. How does that keep on happening? Well, because the audio got all messed up. That's why. Anywho, says the Mishnah, so chepar mechavero, if Reuven rents a cow from Shimon, v'sheila la'acher, and then lends it to Levi, u'meisa kedarka, and then the cow drops dead at Levi's house. Ho ho. Ho ho. So, Reuven is a socher, Levi is a shoel. A socher is potter for ones, right, for mesa kedarka. I think that the point of mesa kedarka is that it's, yeah, it is ones. Okay. So Reuven, the socher, is potter for ones. Levi, the shoel, is chayev for ones. So again, says socher par mechaver v'shila la'achav u'mesa kedarka yishova asocher shemesa kedarka. So Reuven swears to Shimon that it died regularly, normally, and therefore it's ones and he's potter. V'ashoel yishalim lasoicher, and Levi pays. Levi, the borrower, needs to pay Reuven, the lender, the borrower, the renter. Omer Reb Yossi says, Reb Yossi, keitzad ala osa schir b'paroso shechaveru? How could it be that Reuven comes out the winner over here? Reuven rents Shimon's animal, Shimon's cow. The cow dies. Shimon loses his cow. In the meantime, Reuven had lent the cow to Levi, Levi now needs to pay Reuven, and Reuven doesn't need to pay Shimon anything. How could it be that Reuven comes out the big winner when Shimon's cow dies? El Tazel part of the Bible, rather the money needs or the cow needs to be returned, meaning a new cow or the money of the cow needs to be given to Shimon, not to Reuven, according to Rabbi Yossi. Says the Gemara, Omer Avidi bar Oven Abaye. This is Avidi bar Oven to Abaye. Michde, let's see. Socher b'may koni lahai pare. How is Reuven being kone this cow from Shimon so that the rental money? So that Levi, who's the borrower who needs to pay, so that money goes to Reuven, the renter. How does the cow belong to Reuven? So Bishvua. Well, when Reuven swears to Shimon that it died naturally, so then Reuven now gets somehow makes a kinyan on the cow, and now it's Reuven's, and then Levi pays Reuven. But let Shimon say to Reuven, Dal ant vidal shvosech, get rid of you and get rid of your swear. I'm dealing with Levi and he's going to pay me. So, I guess Abai says to Avidi bar Oven, Misovet socher bishvuahu dikakonila? Do you really think that Reuven is being kone the cow when he swears to Shimon? Mishas misahu dikani. No, it's when the animal dies, that is when it becomes Reuven's. Ushvua kidelavis daito shabala bayis. And the shvua that Reuven swears to Shimon is just so that Shimon can trust that it in fact died of natural causes, but it's not the shvua that's going to make any kind of a kinyan. That's just to reassure Shimon that it in fact was a situation of onus. Now this next bit until the end of the daf is kind of messed up. I can't say 100% that I understand it 100%. But I definitely don't understand it 100%. But that doesn't mean that I don't understand. I guess what I'm saying is there are certain things that like maybe what's it? The sum of its parts? A whole is greater than the sum of its parts kind of thing. So I might have like the sum of its parts, possibly, but I feel like I don't have the whole. Because to have the whole in this case is to have you'd probably have to put in more effort than I did. It's called spade a spade. In order to have the whole, I think I'm probably capable of getting the whole, but to get the whole, it's better to just use a computer. It's kind of, you know, it's that kind of a thing. This kind of Gemara is really meant for computers, I think. Let's go weiter. Says the Gemara, Amr Abzerah says Abzerah, Paimim Shabayla Mishalman, Kama Paris, the Socher. There could be scenarios where the owner of the cow needs to pay several cows to the renter of the cow. You ready? Hey Chidami, how is this? Agra Mine Meir Yomi Vader Shaila Mine Tishin Yomi Vader Agra Mine Tamnun Yomi Vader Shaila Mine Shivin Yomi. Umeza b'soch she'lasa. Have you heard the scenario? Reuven goes to Shimon and says, Shimon, I'd like to rent your cow for 100 days. And Shimon's like, cool beans. So Reuven rents the cow from Shimon for 100 days. Shimon immediately says to Reuven, Reuven, I'd like to borrow my cow from you for the first 90 days of your rental. And you will enjoy the cow for the final 10 days of the rental. Reuven's like, cool. So now Shimon is borrowing his cow for the first 90 days of Reuven's rental. Reuven then immediately says to Shimon, Shimon, I'd like to rent your cow for the first 80 days of the 90 days that you are borrowing it from me during my 100-day rental. And Shimon is like, cool beans. So now Reuven is renting it for 80 days. Okay. Shimon then immediately says to Reuven, hey Reuven, I'd like to borrow my cow from you for the first 70 days of your 80-day rental. And then you will enjoy the cow for the final 10 days of your 80-day rental. And Reuven's like, cool beans. And that's what happens. So Shimon now has his own cow for 70 days. He's borrowing it while Reuven is renting it. While Shimon is borrowing it, while Reuven is renting it from Shimon. And then the cow drops dead. Well, Shimon is right now finds himself as a borrower, albeit borrowing his own cow, but he's a borrower. He borrowed it from Reuven. Not only is he borrowing it from Reuven, he's double borrowing it from Reuven. He's borrowing it from Reuven, who's renting it from him, from Shimon, who's borrowing it from Reuven. So it's like a double borrow. So he's layered. It's like, you know, these like rentals and borrowings are like layered on each other. Shimon finds himself right now as a second degree borrower when that cow dies, he's got to pay for both borrowings. So that's two cows. But additionally, he was borrowing it for 70 days of an 80-day rental that Reuven had rented it from him, which means that there is 10 days remaining, so he needs to produce a cow for those remaining 10 days. But then again, he was also borrowing it for 90 days of a 100-day rental, which means that there's also 10 days, a 10-day period that goes to, right, that Reuven has access to a cow as well. So that's another cow. So he's going to have to pay four cows, one for each rental and one for each borrowing and one for each 10-day period that's outstanding in the rental after his borrowing. I feel like it's the kind of thing you should just do with a computer in like a split second. Humans are not very good at this stuff, I think. But all right. Chevet. Bov Metzia, there's nothing else in my life. And I live a pretty brain-heavy life, relatively speaking, I would say. There's nothing that comes even close to the amount of exertion that Bava Metzia and Bava Kama, the Nezikin, does to one's brain. It's unbelievable. It's gewaltig. It's absolutely amazing. Let's go weiter. So Reb Zera says, Reb Zera, Paim Shabbat Mishalman Kama Paris the Socher. There could be a scenario where the owner, Taka, needs to pay several cows. The owner needs to pay several cows to the borrower, to the renter. Hey Chidami, how so? Agra mine meir yome. Reuven rents a cow from Shimon for 100 days. Vader shayle mine tishin yome. Shimon then borrows the cow from Reuven for the first 90 days of his rental. Hader agra mine tamnon yome. Reuven then rents the cow from Shimon for the first 80 days of Shimon's 90-day borrowing. V'hadar shayle mine Shimon yome. And then Shimon borrows the cow from Reuven for the first 70 days of Reuven's 80-day rental. V'mesa b'sochi me shelasa. And then the cow dies while Shimon is renting it. No, while Shimon is borrowing it. Da kol shayle v'shayle mechayev chada pare. That he's chayev one cow for each borrowing period that he's in, so two cows, plus an additional cow for each of the remaining 10-day periods that Reuven would have access to the cow for.
Says Ravacha Midifti to Ravina Michdei Chadapara he. Ravacha Midifti says, look, at the end of the day, we're only talking about one cow here.
Ayla ve'afka, and that's going in and out. Afka mischirus, v'ayla the sheila, afka mishela, v'ayla the schirus. It's be'etzim, the same cow that is just going, shifting between different rental periods and borrowing periods. And I believe what he's saying is that they would only need to be two cows, one of them as a replacement for the borrowing periods, and another cow to use for the outstanding 20 days that he has. And I think maybe that might even go back to him afterwards. That second one for the rentals. Where am I?
Omerle. So Ravina says to Ravach Midifti,
Umi Isa the Par Be'ena de Nema Achi, the thing is that the cow isn't alive right now. If the cow was alive, so you could say, okay, it's the same cow, but the cow's dead, so therefore you have to, I guess, pay for each step.
My bar of Ashi, Omar says, my bar of Ashi, Eno Alein, Ela Shte Pars.
My bar of Ashi says, two cows, Chad de Sheela, Chad de Schirus.
Ah, okay, good. So Rashi says, three lines from the bottom, Marba Ravashi severely cast kafta de Ravach Midifti.
Great. So Marba Ravashi is basically holding like Ravach Midifti, that yeah, it's just two cows, right? Chad de Sheila, one for the borrowing periods, Chad de Schirus, and one for the rental periods.
Shum Sheila Achas, he, the evaluation for the borrowing is one. Vishum Schirus Achasi, and the borrowing of, and the evaluation for the rentals is one.
The sheila kani legamrei, the cow that Shimon, that Reuven would receive for the borrowings, he would keep the schirus, but the cow that he would receive for the outstanding rental periods, avad bayimei schirusel umehadur lelamara, he would just receive for the time of the rental and then return it to Shimon.
All right, we're gonna stop here.
That was daf. Take two of daf lamed hey. Of Masechet Bava Metzia. I hope that the recording worked out okay this time. If not, I have my backup recording. Hopefully I won't have to use it, but at least I have it.
What did we do today? We further explored Rav Huna's opinion that one must swear that they, in fact, don't have the pikadun that they claim is gone.
We talked about some interesting scenarios with like being able to return properties once you've paid back somebody. And then we started getting into a little bit of confusing stuff about borrowing and renting and stuff.
Yeah.
How do 10-year-olds learn this stuff? Peace out.